Good morning and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Mark Bergsma brings a message titled, Pray and Let God Worry, from scripture found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. This is Kevin Van Heukelom inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the worship and fellowship of 8th Reformed Church. And a cordial welcome to any of you who may be visiting with us today. And we also welcome those who join us by Jethro Radio and those who join us on the internet, jethro.fm, and also those who will join us through YouTube TV. And we thank God for all the ways that we have to reach out to different people, and we pray that God's Spirit may just join us together in one worshiping body today. Apologize for my voice today. I'm just getting over one of those summer colds, and it kind of landed right here. And so I got kind of a gruff voice today, but I'll do my best. Again, we thank God for this chance to get together in Christ's name. It's always a joy to see people. The one announcement that I'll make is a joyous one. The donuts are going to start up again at the beginning of September. And I know my wife will testify to you that I've been on a donut deficiency diet here for quite a while. And I'm looking forward to that. Mark your calendars. Beginning of September, Wednesdays are going to be a special day in our week again. And we thank God for that and look forward to seeing you in that time of fellowship and getting together as God's congregation. I chose for our call to worship a little different passage that I think kind of sets the stage for worship today. Listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That sets the stage for worship, doesn't it? We come before Christ today, and we come before him in all of his glory, but also we remember what he did for us, and that's the gospel. Let's sing about that. Standing to sing number 153, Worthy of Worship.
Thank you.
Father, as we come into your presence today, we do it with great joy. Thank you, Father, for the invitation, the blood-bought invitation that we have received through Jesus Christ to be here, to be in your presence, to speak to you directly, to praise you and worship you as our Father. Father, all these things we're not worthy of, and yet we come because you have invited us, because you've loved us, because you have gone to extraordinary lengths to save us. And now we come to say thank you. We come to celebrate our faith, our Savior, our great salvation, our future. All those things, Father, are just a joy to us. And it is our privilege to come together on Sundays to say thank you. Be with us in this worship service. Thank you for each person who has come, each with different thoughts in their minds, each with different cares in their hearts. And we pray that this may be a time of freeing, a time of cleansing, a time of strengthening, a time of coming alive in Jesus Christ. We pray for that. May your Spirit be active among us. And again, thank you, Father, for what's going to take place. We come together in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you now and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are delighted to have our special music today, Tom Whitaker and Tom Casper, and they're going to do their special music right now.
Thank you. perfected Redeemer, Jesus, how could them rulers like me? Till the changer I be, dying dying I repeat, now that I put in Christ in me.
We need all the help we can get. Thank you.
Well, a big thank you from all of us to Tom and Tom. Don't you love that kind of music? It's just awesome. We appreciate those songs very, very much. Thank you so much. As we come to a time of prayer, which, by the way, is what the message is about today. So this is an important time in the worship service. I'll mention, and I forgot to mention this earlier, your prayer guide for the month of September is included in the bulletin today. And I just think these are so handy. They're well done. They have names and events and things that are happening in the church family. And specifically, things for you to pray for, people for you to pray for. And I would just encourage you to take this home and make it your prayer guide, or at least one of them, going forward. It's a great way to stay current with what's happening in the church family and also in the lives of people who are a part of the church. Just a couple of announcements by way of additions to the bulletin in terms of our church family. Tom Campbell's granddaughter, Bree, who's 15 years old and who has faced numerous health struggles in her young life, continues to need our prayers. She has been experiencing various symptoms, headaches and so on, and they're trying to track down the source of all of that and what they can do to help her. So please remember Bree in your prayers. And then Gail Dornbos, Phil's sister, was hospitalized just in the last couple of days with pneumonia. There's a lot of that floating around. So please remember Gail in your prayers as she recovers in the hospital. I was able to visit with Marcelle Martinez just yesterday, and she's coming along very well after very serious open heart surgery, valve replacement surgery at the hospital. She thanks all of you, and I mentioned that I would pass that along to the congregation. Continue to pray for Marcelle. She goes to one church. Her fiance goes to a different church. They met here at the Patriotic Service. He's a retired career Army Ranger, Lieutenant Colonel. They met here, and they're going to get married in December. Isn't that wonderful? They're both mid-80s, but doing well and excited about all that. And so they'll always have a special place in their heart for 8th Reformed Church and for all of you. Continue to remember them in your prayers as well. And then the rest of them are listed here, people who are healing, people who just need our prayers on a regular basis. So let's take some time and come before God, shall we? Father, sometimes we take for granted the privilege of prayer. We praise you today for the great God that you are, the righteous God that you are. But we also, Father, just remember that you have invited us to call you Father because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And Father, we can't get over that. The miraculous salvation that you have won for us. Father, may we never, ever, ever take that for granted. And from Sunday to Sunday and day to day, may we just remember what extraordinary lengths you went to win for us that salvation. Thank you for Jesus. And as we read about him and as we talk about him, we marvel that the creator of the universe the sustainer of the universe, the all-powerful God, could enter somehow this tiny speck in the midst of your vast creation and come to be with us for the purpose of saving us. We will never, Father, comprehend that great love that sent him into this dark world. And yet, we celebrate it this morning. Thank you for that wonderful music that Tom and Tom just shared. That, again, just as a reminder of your great love for us, abiding love, love that we can't reciprocate, and yet we open our hearts and receive it fully and freely because that's what makes you happy. Thank you for this worship service, Father, and the fact that your Holy Spirit has been busy this week and has somehow worked in our individual lives to bring us here today, to bring us together today, to make of us one body, one worshiping body. And we include in that body, Father, those who can't be here physically, but who join us through radio and TV and other various means. Thank you for the unity that we experience when we get together with other believers. Because, as you said in your word, we truly become the body of Christ. And each of us a small part of it, but an important part of it. Thank you for the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ who enrich our lives and add to our lives and bless us in so many ways with their smiles and with their encouraging words. It is such a joy to be a part of a church family like the Eighth Family. And again, I pray, Father, if there's someone here that's visiting today that doesn't know you, that today may be the day when your Spirit works a miracle and creates a breakthrough in their stone-hard heart and brings them to the foot of the cross and to Jesus' arms. We pray for that, Father, that miracle. We don't take it for granted. We pray for it. And only you can accomplish it. Only you, Father, can bring people to yourself. And we pray that somehow, in our own humble way, you would use us to accomplish that miracle. May somehow, Father, we be a small part of that outreach of the gospel that brings people to Christ and brings to us eternal brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the life of this church and for what goes on from day to day, for all of the ministry behind the scenes. We pray for Pastor Harry and Beth as they're away on vacation and visiting with family this week. It's always a special time to get together with family, and we pray for refreshment for our pastor and his wife, and that they may be enriched as they worship up in Canada, and that they may travel safely to come back and be with us again. Continue to bless the ministry as it takes place from this pulpit, from week to week, and thank you for the other pastors who participate in that. And I think of Pastor Garrett's message and Pastor Harvey and others, just Pastor Howard, and all who participate, Father, in the spoken word. May it go out strong and may it be consistent in the gospel message as we have the privilege of telling people, the world, our community, about our great God and about Jesus Christ, His Son, our Savior. We think of our sick today, and the list again is very long and numerous. We think of Bree, and we think of Gail in particular. We think of Marcille as she continues to recover. We think of Amanda and Chuck and Cheryl as she faces some questions about her future. Thank you for good reports coming back, encouraging reports on her behalf this past week. And for Ron, and as he continues to heal, and Betty, we think of others like Lorraine, who just has fought so hard for so long. And I pray, Father, that you just give her a respite and give her some good days and strengthen her. Pray for others that just struggle on a daily basis, for Larry and Linda and Brett and Brian and Barb and Darlene and Jim and Terry and others. Surely, as she continues to recover, and Glenn and just others who face pain on a daily basis. Forgive us if we take our health for granted. May every day we just pause and say thank you for a good day, for a day when we feel your presence near us. Father, we continue to entrust this list and those beyond this list that weren't mentioned today to your loving arms, your care, and your healing. We thank you that we worship a God who emanates healing and life. And as we spend time and as we draw close to you, Father, we feel that life. And we know that that life will take us beyond our last breath and will take us into a life that right now we can only imagine and think about, but a life that will be spent rejoicing fully with all of the faculties that you give us, a life that will be free of pain and free of the ugliness of our past, the terrors of this world and the cares of this world, a life that will be life meant to be as you created us to be. Thank you again for the way that you're going to continue to bless us. And again, we thank you, Father, that as we move forward as a church, that we do so in your strength and in your power. Bless each person in this room today with the special knowledge that you know us. You know us through and through. You know every bit about us. And you love us with an eternal love that will not let us go. We come together now around the words that Jesus shared when he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing again. If you'll stand and sing 636, I Must Tell Jesus.
I see the organist bench is empty. Something must have come up. Let's pray just a minute for Angie and Chloe. Father, we have no idea what's going on. I have no information other than I saw her taken out. And I just pray your blessing on Ann Jean. May her body, as she grows older, may she just know her faith is found in you. And we just pray your blessing on her body today. May whatever it is that's ailing, may it be healed because of your grace for us. Thank you. And thank you for Sharon, who's going to kind of take over here. Give her a special blessing as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
three other folks that I would just encourage you to pray for. Marilee Tech and her stepmom passed away this past week, Sandra Marston. There'll be funeral arrangements down the road, a graveside service for the family. Pastor Howard's son, Mark, passed away this past week as well. And again, a family graveside service will be held later this fall. Our condolences go to Pastor Howard and Mary and that entire family. And then Sue Takema, her father passed away. And the service was held just yesterday. So continue to remember Sue and that entire family in your prayers. Before I read the scripture today, I could summarize the message in just one single word. Pray. How are we to pray? Scripture says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. When are we to pray? Whenever we're anxious, the scripture says. Where are we to pray? You name it. We can pray here in worship. We can pray before bed. We can pray in the car in the middle of the night. Doesn't matter when. We can pray anytime. There's a twist to this prayer, though. We can pray now with thanksgiving in anticipation of what's going to happen down the road. And the result of this prayer, according to the scripture, will be God will be waiting for us with great joy, and there will be a gift of supernatural peace that will descend on us as we pray and share our burdens with Him. We know all of this. We have heard all of this before, and yet our instincts keep kicking in, and we know that by experience, we just start to be anxious again. We start to shoulder our own burdens again, and we wonder why we don't experience peace. We carry a lot of extra weight around, and I'm not talking about physical weight. I'm talking about the weight that's in here. What we're talking about today is a true test of our faith. And we'll go back through it very simply, but it's a true test of our faith. Do I really, really, honestly trust God enough to pray and share my anxieties with Him and believe that He's going to do something about them? We forget His promise. And that old default mode kicks in, and pretty soon it's back up to me again to shoulder my burdens. Now I want to say this. Eighth Church is a praying church. And I love that about this church family. We have a prayer chain which is well maintained. We have people who are serious about correspondence and sending cards. We have calls and texts and visits. We have prayer shawls. Keep up the good work. God's pleased with that. Some churches don't take prayer very seriously. Some churches have sort of moved beyond prayer, and it's only a formality to them. They almost ignore this whole area, and that's such a shame, because prayer is alive and it's vital, and when you pray, sparks fly and it connects us to God. And it's up to us preachers and teachers to keep on reminding all of us, myself included, that we shouldn't shoulder our own burdens. Peter said in his second epistle, he said, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth. I'm going to keep on reminding you. And that's what my calling really is, to be a reminder of things that you already know. That's what this message is really going to be all about. So anyway, open your Bibles, if you have one in front of you, to Philippians chapter 4. And these are familiar words, very familiar words. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Here comes the important verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whew, that's a mouthful. And it is, these are such familiar words, aren't they? Probably among the most familiar verses in the entire Bible. Ironically, as I'm driving around this week, I notice on a church sign, pray and don't worry, referring to this passage. Every day as I brush my teeth in the bathroom, our daughter has a little painting on the wall there, and it says, pray and don't worry. Give God your cares. I have chosen as the title for this message, pray and let God worry. That's a quote from none other than Martin Luther, one of the most brilliant Bible scholars the world's ever produced. And he summarized this whole passage, pray and let God do the worrying. I like that. I have preached personally on this passage at least a half a dozen times. This message is not one of them. You're not getting rehashed stuff. I started from scratch because the well here is deep, and we keep going to the well, and we keep dipping out this living water, and there's just an endless supply. I did this without apology. I chose this passage because I believe we all need to hear this. No apologies. We all need to hear this again and again and again. As I said before, we tend to forget. All of you, including me, came today with worries, with anxieties, with things you're dreading, things you regret, hurts, unanswered questions, things you're struggling with, things that don't make sense to you, things that keep you up at night, things that make you tremble. And if you say, no, that doesn't include me, you're not being truthful with yourself. Because this is universal. All of us carry around these things. And that's why we need to hear this again. We tend to forget. Pray and let God worry. Now, of course, God doesn't worry about things. He's sovereign. But the point Martin Luther was trying to make is that we shouldn't do it, and we should transfer those worries to God by prayer at His invitation. And then the Bible says we can not just relax, we can rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice and experience His peace. That's where we're going here in the few brief moments we'll look at these words together today. In the first verses of this passage, He's talking to the Philippians, which are a special group of people to Him. This is a very close-knit congregation. They have been a great support to him. They mean a lot to him. And he recognizes that. And he even mentions a couple people by name. Make sure that you surround these two with your love and make sure they agree with each other. Because the ministry of the church starts with the unity of the church. Amen? If we don't have that, we have nothing to offer the world. And there are so many churches that are in turmoil and so many churches that are torn apart by Christians against Christians. And you can feel it when you walk in the door. And nothing could be more harmful to the kingdom of God by way of witness than that. And that's why I praise God for the unity of this church. It's Medal of Honor, Congressional Medal of Honor winner said one time, the squad of men around me, they're the reason that I am receiving this medal. They deserve this honor, not me. I am who I am because of them. That's what the church should be like. We should all say, you're the reason that I am who I am. I would be nothing without you. You are my support. Paul says, that's what I feel when I think of the Philippian church. You're my strength. You're my crown, he says. I celebrate you and I thank God for you. You keep me going. You fill me with great joy. Bottom line, this is an important part of Paul's life. To stand firm in the faith, he needs these fellow Christians. And then we get into the meat of this passage in these verses. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. That's a command here, by the way. It's not a suggestion. We're commanded to rejoice, and he wants to emphasize it, so he repeats it twice. And it brings out this point. Joy and rejoicing comes not from favorable circumstances in our lives. Joy comes from the Lord. And when we come together, we can experience that joy, and we can truly rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That's a special word. Gentleness may not be the best translation of it. It means your reasonableness, the generous spirit that you have that rises above offenses and pettiness, that forbearing spirit that you have that puts up with a lot without being angry, without seeking retribution. Let that be known to all, Paul says. The Lord is at hand. He's coming again, but he's also here and in us now. Do you realize that God is in a more intimate position in our lives than he is throughout the Bible because he's in us? He is near in all of our transactions in this world. And then don't be anxious about anything. This is the part that gets quoted all the time, and rightly so. Here we're talking about worldly concerns. We're talking about all sorts of different kinds of things. Health, the health of other people around us. We're talking about money issues. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about people's past and things that they're still secrets that they're carrying around with them from the past that bring anxiety to them. We're talking about guilt that they feel about things from the past. We're talking about bills that need to be paid, events that we're not looking forward to, questions that don't have answers at this point in our lives, uncertainties, things that we dread. Anxieties come in a lot of different forms. And Paul says here, don't be anxious about anything. Yeah, that's easier said than done. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the biggie of all anxieties in just a minute. But in everything, it says, in every experience, good and bad, in everything, by prayer and supplication, start with praise, like the Lord's Prayer teaches us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then get to the supplication, the asking for specific things. But then ask with thanksgiving, it says. That means that your prayers have a look forward aspect to them, assured that we can thank God for the answers that are on their way. And then it says, let your requests be made known. This is for us, it's not for God. God knows what we're going to pray before we even pray it. But when we let our requests be made known to God on purpose, it's an exercise of our faith in Him. And something happens when we do that. And the peace of God, and I could preach on this one word for the next year and not fully exhaust it. The eirene of God, the Greek word means, well, it really can't fully be described, except to say it is the greatest feeling in the entire world. It's something that you have to experience. It's a feeling of being safe and free. It's a feeling that all is well and there's no pressure and the past doesn't enter in anymore and everything is absolutely taken care of. And it's a feeling that we are totally loved, unconditionally loved. This word eirene, boy, if you can get a hold of this, you have everything. And here we're invited to pray away our anxieties and receive this in return. That's a good bargain. And it will guard, it says, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It'll keep us focused. I've seen this happen. I've seen this as people approach death through a lot of pain. I've seen the peace of God supernaturally visible in their faces. And only God can do that. Only God can give that gift. And the good news is He's willing to give that supernatural peace to us now before we die, so that we can experience it in this life. This word anxiety, it means when something just takes over your thoughts, when you just can't get it out of your mind. The definition of it in the scriptures is when it becomes dominating and concerns in your life just dominate and lead to fear, when they destroy our perspective on life and cause us to forget that God exists and cares, and they move us to drift into an attitude of constant worry and concern over a future that we can't control. Tell me you've never experienced that. We all have. We all do. And that's why this passage keeps coming back up. It keeps coming back into our lives. These specific directions of what to do keep coming back to us. Don't worry about anything, but transfer by faith those worries to God and believe that He will take care of them. Now, I mentioned the biggie of all concerns, and the biggie of all concerns is spiritual anxiety. Am I good enough? Is my faith strong enough? Am I going to heaven? Do I qualify? Is God angry with me? Is He punishing me? Is all of this real? Am I truly going to be with my loved ones and with my Lord forever? That's spiritual anxiety. And every one of us has experienced that somewhere along the way, no matter how strong our faith is. I'm reading in my devotions this week, and this is not by coincidence. Here's what it said. There's a spiritual angst deep in the heart of many Christians. It's an unsettling feeling that perhaps we have not done enough, believed enough, struggled, or sacrificed enough. Paul offers us the cure. God is both the just one and the justifier. Salvation begins and ends in Him. Everything about it, other than our simple acceptance, is a gift. What does it mean that God is both the just and the one who justifies? It means that the same one who demands holiness accomplishes it for us. The same one who orders a sacrifice of blood for our sins provides that sacrifice of blood. He requires of us perfection in Jesus. He offers His own perfection in our stead. The remedy for our salvation anxiety, whenever it creeps back in, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't look within at the quality of your faith. Don't look at the abundance of your works. Look at Jesus. Count on what He's done. Rest in His work. Know that He has satisfied God fully for you. That's the gospel. We should carry that around with us 100% of the time, but unfortunately, doubt creeps back in. And when it does, when this biggie of all anxieties comes back to us, and it will, remember, don't be anxious about anything, especially this, because God has taken care of it at the foot of the cross. God has taken care of it. And we're out of time, and I want to leave you with one illustration. It's a little crude, but it gets the point across, I think. And it's one that I kind of remember, at least in my own mind. I have a friend who is a part of he was a part of an organization called Junk Kings. And Junk Kings, you can hire Junk Kings if you have a place that needs to be cleaned out so that it can be remodeled. If you have a house that's just full of junk, and maybe it's a hoarder's house, or maybe it's full of... Anyway, you call Junk Kings, they'll come over with a crew, and they will begin to de-junk your house. Guess what they do? They bring over this huge metal dumpster, and they park it right in the driveway. And then the crew goes into the house, and they start to carry everything out, all of the bad stuff, the damaged stuff, the old stuff, the rotten stuff, the stuff that's got mold on it, the stuff that should have been thrown away a long time ago, the junk, the waste, the mess, the worthless stuff. Load by load, they carry it out to the dumpster, and they throw it in. And there's a certain freeing feeling, because I've done this, there's a certain freeing feeling when you do that, oh, I don't have to worry about that stuff ever again. It's gone. It's going to be taken care of. It's going to be carted out of here. And load after load, all this rotten stuff goes out into the dumpster. And then a truck comes along and picks that thing up, and carts it away to the landfill, and it's completely out of my life, and I'm completely freed from it. Well, you can see where I'm going with all of this. That freedom is what's offered to us in this passage. It's not a perfect illustration, because God works out our anxieties. He's so powerful and so far ahead of us that He takes care of all the things that we worry about. But we, from our side of things, can take that stuff and throw it into God's dumpster. And Jesus is the one that provides that dumpster at the foot of the cross. And never forget that. No matter what anxieties you're carrying around, you can come and unload and be set free from them and experience in return God's complete and total peace. Is that a good bargain or what? Rejoice, He says, and again I will say it to you, rejoice. Our God loves us, and He has provided a way for us to be separated from our anxieties once and for all. Rejoice. His name is Jesus. And He's why we're here today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for these specific directions that You give us through the Apostle Paul for dealing with our anxieties, with our worries, with our troubles. Thank You that You provide a way, and His name is Jesus. And You have made promises to us that we don't deserve, but we gladly claim and hold on to now. Teach us to be reminded again and again and again of this avenue of dealing with our cares and our worries and our troubles and our past, our anxieties, the things that drag us down, the biblical way, the way of Jesus. And I thank You for all that we're going to continue to meet as a congregation and rejoice about all of this week after week after week, because You love us and You provided a way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The song, if I can find it here, is Did You Think to Pray? And it's an insert in your bulletin today. So if you take that insert out, we'll stand to sing Did You Think to Pray?
Thank you.
I'm going to invite the deacons to come forward to receive the morning offering. Father, again, we come to you and thank you for all your goodness to us. We experience it daily. We thank you for the promises that you extend to us today and for the means that you give us in this world to follow you. Continue to bless us, not because we're worthy, but because we trust as your children that you will continue to love us and provide for us. And we pray that now in Jesus' name, amen. After the announcement, after the benediction rather, a wonderful piece, just verse 1, and you probably know the words to this already. We sang it last week actually, and it fits today's worship just as much. Again, thank you to Sharon, and continue to pray for Ann Jean. We're not sure. We'll pass along the details of what happened there, and continue to pray for those that were mentioned earlier today. Go now in God's peace. May the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that's found in knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, may that peace go with you and abide with you now and forevermore.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM. Each Sunday morning at this time, you can also listen to a past service on the website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.